WKK1, the one you trust. It is 8:33, and on the telephone with us here, Principal Chief of Cherokee Nation, Chuck Hoskin Jr. How are you doing there, Chief?
Good morning, Tom. I'm doing well.
I understand history is in the making, and of course, last week, a big thing with the Will Rogers home.
Well, seems like there's a lot of history in the making in the last week, but Will Rogers' birthplace being acquired by the Cherokee Nation is great history for not only Cherokee Nation, but I think all of Oklahoma and people who adore Will Rogers and what he stood for. So the Will Rogers Birthplace Ranch is located in Ulaga. It is a beautiful setting. It is something that the state, I think, over the years has, worked very hard to maintain, but I think there's lean times in terms of the state's ability to continue to care for some of these great assets. And so we purchased it. We are going to put the resources into it to make it even better than it is today, and it's a very nice setting today, which I think will help tell Will Rogers' story. You know, Tom, he was a citizen of the world. He was someone who was known all over. I think he brought something that we could sure use today, which is a sense of humor and the idea that people ought to have a sense of humor at times, and in some ways a good way to critique anybody in power, no matter the party, is look at some of the things Will Rogers said. So I think we need a dose of that today, and I think Will Rogers' story is as relevant today as ever. But he was a Cherokee citizen, Tom, and we're very proud of that.
And we've got Veterans Day coming up tomorrow, and I understand that you're working on the Cherokee Warriors database. Tell us about that.
We are. So, we know from various statistical studies that Native Americans served at a higher rate in the United States military than any other ethnicity, and certainly that tracks with our experience with Cherokee veterans, such a large number of Cherokee veterans. This is interesting, though, and a lot of people may not know this. We at Cherokee Nation don't know precisely how many of our 385,000 citizens are veterans. We don't track that. It's not something that's been required over the generations in terms of Cherokee citizenship. So we're undertaking the largest effort ever to identify who our veterans are, where they are. And so the database is going to be something that allows people to go online. It'll be up and running in a couple of weeks. To go online, they can enter their military information, they can self-identify as a veteran, and then we also intend to undertake an effort to identify just verification of veteran status, because that of course requires some paperwork. The end result, though, Tom, will be two things. One is we'll be able to reach out better to our veterans. We have a wonderful veteran center in Tahlequah.
Oh, you do?
We make efforts to reach out to veterans. Being able to identify who our veterans are, though, Tom, will make that better. And so whether it's our food distribution efforts to veterans, which were going on before the pandemic and continue to go on, or whether it's connecting veterans with other services like the Veterans Administration, we'll do that better if we know who they are, where they are, how we can reach them. The other thing is this, Tom, is we, of course, need to budget and prioritize various programs, whether it's the dollars we have at Cherokee Nation or whether it's grant funds that we want to pursue. And in the business of budgeting and in the business of seeking, say, federal grants, well, data is key. And if we don't have good data on our veterans, that makes it difficult. If we have better data on our veterans, I think we can do more in the future, whether it's housing, whether it's health care. So I'm excited about this. Our Secretary of Veterans Affairs, S. Joe Crittenden, who's a Navy veteran, decorated Navy veteran, is leading this up, and we're excited about it. There'll be more news, and I'll be glad to come back on when we get the website online. But in the meantime, people can look forward to that.
Indeed, very good. Now, speaking of history, too, we're doing something else in Cherokee Nation, the history of the Cherokee Freedmen. I saw that posted just yesterday, and I thought that was interesting on your Facebook page.
Yeah, and so just to give listeners a little context, in 1866, Cherokee Nation signed a treaty. One of the provisions was that freedmen and their descendants should have the rights of native Cherokees. Well, for generations, what that language meant was in dispute. That dispute was resolved finally in 2017 by a federal judge and by the Cherokee Nation Supreme Court. And what the courts, both of them, said was that that language means that freedmen and their descendants, that is, slaves held by Cherokees, are citizens of the Cherokee Nation. Today, 2020, we fully embrace that. And it seems to me, Tom, that when you have a generation of people who have been disenfranchised and not allowed to be part of the Cherokee Nation because of the various disputes, that we unfortunately lose a lot of history. And so I asked one of our departments, I said, can you find a picture of Stick Ross? Stick Ross, Tom, was a Cherokee councilman, mm-hmm. pre-statehood, who was freedman. They could not find that picture. They said that picture, to our knowledge, doesn't exist. And that got me thinking, along with some input from people across the Cherokee Nation, that we really need to do a better job of telling the freedman story. I think whether it's American history or Cherokee history, you tell all of it. You tell all of it. And the other aspect of it is art. You know, we have a lot of great artists out there. Many of them may be of freedman descent. What can we do to elevate them in terms of helping share the freedman experience through their artistic vision? So I'm excited about this. I think it's great for the Cherokee Nation.
We've also been following the COVID-19 Respond, Recover, and Rebuild plan. Can you tell us how that's coming along?
Well, it's coming along good. We're putting hundreds of millions of dollars into various efforts, so making sure our healthcare system can take on what is, unfortunately, Tom, a continuing wave of COVID spread with hospital utilization up across the state. Very concerned about that, but I still think we're in a strong position to absorb what's coming. Mitigation efforts are key, whether it's something as simple, but really the most effective thing we can do right now is a mask, or something more sophisticated like the testing equipment that we have in our offices, in which we can detect if there is COVID and make sure that we're adjusting our sanitation efforts accordingly. Food security efforts, those are ongoing. The other thing, though, we're doing is we're investing in infrastructure, making sure we have some buildings in place that can be drive-through testing, for example. Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw the good news yesterday, Tom, I'm sure you did too, about the efficacy of the vaccine in the trials, that it was a 90% effective rate. I hope that holds. Cherokee Nation, rest assured, will be ready not only to receive the vaccines, but to deploy those out into the community. And look, if Cherokee Nation succeeds on the vaccine deployment, that's good for the whole region, because that means we've touched thousands and thousands of people, and we're going to do our best to do that effectively.
All right, very good. Other things that are going on with the nation, you really had a nice piece on your Facebook page yesterday about the McGirt ruling and the challenges on all sides of the equation that this is posing. And the resolution, you said, was there's nothing too big that can't be resolved. It was an interesting read.
Well, I appreciate that, and we can resolve them. I mean, it's not that there are not concerns. I mean, if everybody starts from the proposition that we want public safety, that we want a justice system that is fair to the victims and, frankly, fair to the defendants, because we have a system in this country, and we should, of applying the law to the facts and reaching conclusions, and then also having a system for not only punishment but rehabilitation. If we all believe in that, which I believe we all do, then we have to make sure that the resources are in place to do that, no matter who has jurisdiction. Now, as a tribal chief, I am applauding McGirt, and I don't want to turn back any of those gains, and I won't stand for turning back any of those gains. But at the same time, you know, I don't live on an island, and I work well with leaders of other governments. With the governor of the state of Oklahoma and I have had our issues, but we'll talk about this issue. The attorney general of the state of Oklahoma and I talk about this issue. I'll talk to our members of Congress. Tom, I'll talk to anyone who's interested in, A, protecting tribal sovereignty first and foremost, and, B, working constructively to resolve any gaps that might exist. One of the gaps is resources. You know, the state of Oklahoma has had over a century to build up a criminal justice system. Tribes are being asked to do it in a matter of months. It doesn't take a sophisticated policy analyst to figure out that that's a difficult thing. So making sure we have the resources of the Cherokee Nation are important. But also, can we do anything in the Congress to preserve 100% of McGirt? That's important to me. But also give tribes new powers to negotiate with the state so that we can handle some of these jurisdictional issues, again, without falling short of that goal of protecting public safety and having a fair justice system.
We're talking with Cherokee Nation Principal Chief Chuck Hoskin, Jr. Another thing that I've been reading a little bit on is your Angel Project, and that is something to help out our children, isn't it?
It is. Every year, hundreds and hundreds of Cherokee kids who otherwise would not have a great Christmas as many of us take for granted get help through the Angel Project. The challenge this year is we had to change it, Tom. I mean, in years past, you could walk into, say, one of our healthcare facilities and grab an angel off the tree and bring a gift back, and then we'd have staff assembled in a room making sure those gifts were sorted and wrapped. You can't do that during a pandemic, or at least you can't do it safely. And so we've moved to a process where you can get gift cards for the kids. People can go to Cherokee.org, our website. That's Cherokee.org, and they can find more about the Angel Project. You know, look, we kids this Christmas, they've had a tough year. They ought to have a great Christmas. And so Angel Project's just one of many great things going across the region in which people are trying to, again, make this difficult time easier on the kids. And we ought to always remember that.
And speaking of trying to make things just a little bit better, getting back to COVID here, I understand your rapid tests have been distributed in Cherokee Nation.
We COVID-19. That's right. We have about 6,000 of what they call the Buy Nax Now test. That's kind of a brand name. But the point of that is that the tests are much more rapid than the rapid test of just months ago. So you're talking a matter of 15, 20 minutes. You can get these results back, and the accuracy is very high. We've used that in particular at our Sequoia schools, which is a school system in which we have gone almost all virtual. We've introduced some in-person learning. We did it, Tom, though. We brought the kids back one day a week only when we had those rapid tests. So if you're a student at Sequoia, if you go in for your one day a week in-person instruction, you get tested. Every staff gets tested. We maintain an environment in which no one that walks in that building has a positive test. And then, of course, we have the other mitigation efforts, which, and I want to be clear about this to every listener, masks are more important right now than anything else. And so masks are being worn in the facility. That means we have been able to catch some non-symptomatic students who have otherwise would have been in the building, and we were catching them and diverting them to the healthcare resources. And so those rapid testing are a way for us to keep that environment clean. Of course, with 6,000 tests, we're able to push that out throughout our health system. Testing is the key, Tom. Testing and mask wearing right now, that's our two best weapons against this.
We're talking to Cherokee Nation Principal Chief Chuck Hoskin Jr. right here on K1, the one you trust. And, you know, we were talking a lot of history here, but November really is History Month for the nation. And you guys are really making the best of it here with a lot of good news.
Yeah, Native American History Month celebrated across the country in November. We're of course always excited to share our story with the country anytime we can, and doing it this month is the time to do that. The Will Rogers Birthplace, which we touched on, is an example of what Cherokee Nation is doing across the region. And so, I want to see a time, Tom, in which Cherokees and non-Cherokees and tourists can drive through Northeast Oklahoma and just say, you know, we had this world-class experience visiting various sites, and those sites are all over the Cherokee Nation. That's why, you know, a year ago we started talking about the historic registry so we can identify sites and save them. But if we can continue to deliver this kind of storytelling and content to the public, I think it'll help drive home in the consciousness that Cherokee Nation is here, we're alive, we're vibrant, we're such a part of Northeast Oklahoma. And so, again, it's a great month to celebrate. Brighton, we're doing our part.
Chief, I want to thank you very much. Say, I've got a friend of ours who wants to say howdy to you, so I'm going to put you on hold and put you through to him. Thank you very much, Chief Hoskin, for being with us here today. All righty, and we've got the chief on hold. It is 8:47. We've got more coming up.